Welcome. My name is Magdalena Surma. Today, I have the great honor of interviewing Ms. Maryam Sahar. She has the long-term goal of becoming the president of Afghanistan. Ms. Sahar was contracted by the Civilian Military Cooperation Unit, where she worked primarily with the Department of Women Affairs. She was the first and only female interpreter for the Canadian Armed Forces. Ms. Sahar was also a gender and cultural advisor. Thank you so much for joining us today. I'd like to begin by asking you the following questions. As the first and only female interpreter for the Canadian Armed Forces, and as the first to be involved in gender and cultural advising, you made a difference at the age of 15. This was dating back in 2009. Please discuss the impact of this experience, along with the significance of the work that you have done.
Well, first of all, it's a pleasure for me to be here with you and discuss about my experiences in Afghanistan, as well as the influence of the international community mission in Afghanistan, particularly in Kandahar province. It's true, I was 15 years old when I started working as an interpreter for the Canadian Armed Forces. It's being young from the perspective of a Canadian society, whereas in Afghanistan, the 15 years is already a grown-up person in Afghanistan society. So whenever people refer to me as a child or very young in age of 15 doing the work, I do not see myself in that position, because in Afghan culture I'm pretty much grown up, and I had to do what I needed to do in order to make a difference in my country, in my province, and to help the people who came to Afghanistan to help us, especially women in that province. As you know, that Kandahar is a very conservative province, and it has been the capital of the Taliban under their regime. And women rights were particularly violated by the Taliban. And it's very, very hard for women in Kandahar to go out and work. But the thing is that even though we suffer from a lot of problems and insecurity in that country or in that province, especially for women, but somehow we still believe that we have the power to make a difference if we really want to do it. So I was lucky that I had the support of my family, especially my father, because he truly believed in education of his kids, especially when it comes to daughters and sons. My father always gave the priority to the girls' education. It's like, I don't want to say this, that he was not caring about his son's education, but I want to say that my father pushed his daughters more to do well and to get better education than his son, because he knew that women suffer in this society. If they are not educated, if they don't work for themselves, nobody will work for them. And men will get the advantage of that to use it against women. So, and that's also to do with the personal life of my father, with my mom, because we definitely had some domestic violence at home. So my father really didn't want his daughters to have that life as their mother had, especially my mom life with him. So he always encouraged us, said, fight for your rights, so then you will be able to fight for someone else's rights. If you don't fight for your own rights, you will never ever be able to fight for someone else's rights. So it seems like my passion for women's rights comes from my home, because I have seen violence toward my mom. I have seen in my own house, I have seen violence against women in the society. I have seen violence against women in my school. I have seen some sort of violence against me As a woman growing up in that society, especially not being allowed to get an education and not being allowed to work. So when I see these injustices, I really get passionate about the subject, and I really want to make a difference. So at that time, when I was growing up in 2002, I always wanted to get involved somehow to help, you know, my society, and to help my women in that problem. So I was always looking into ways, you know, how to get to that that position. And that's how when I got involved with the Department of Women's Affairs. I was if I remember correctly, I think I was 11 years old or 12 years old when I got in touch with the Department of Women's Affairs, and I asked the director. I said, I really want to attend Women's Day's ceremony. I want to read topics, and I want to read poems, because we always had functions. So that's how I created my relationship with the director of Women's Affairs. And at the same time, I was going to English school as well, and that school was supported by the Canadians, and the name of the school was Afghan Canadian Community Center, and there I learned my English. So I had this relationship, and the director did somehow knew my passion for the work that I was doing in that young age, and she always teased me, saying that, Mariam, when I die, you will be the one who's going to be leading this office. And yes. I was like, I always took it as a joke. I said, no, director, you know, I won't be able to do that and that. And then she was kind of, she was a very encouraging director, and she said, no, you are the future of this country, and if you show such an interest right now, what would happen when you get to this position? You will truly make a difference more than me. So that, you know, I still remember that. And then one day, this department was really involved with the PRT, Provincial Reconstruction Team, where the Canadian military were, and they were having a lot of projects. So the director knew that I could speak English. And she was having a hard time with the male interpreters, because they wouldn't translate what the director wanted them to translate. Because if the director was serious about something, and she really wanted to tell the Canadians about that, then the male would step in and say, oh no, it's the culture, you know, these are foreigners, and they don't have to be knowing what's going on in our society. You are an Afghan, you know, like kind of giving their own opinion rather than sharing or saying exactly what the director wanted the Canadians to know about the problems in that province. So she asked me one day and said, Mariam, I understand that you speak a little bit English, and I want you to do the translation for me. And I said, okay, I will try my best to do the translation. And that's when I met the Canadian Armed Forces for the first time at the Department of Women's Affairs. And I did the translation for the director. And then later, you know, my director, who eventually became my director later, she asked me, say, would you mind working for our office? And that was CIMIC, the Canadian Military Cooperation Unit. And I said, yes, I will do the job, even though I did not consider the security risk related to that. I did not consider what my parents' reaction would be to that, especially my father, because the yes of men is very, very important in that society. If a man say yes to you, you can do it. If a man say no, you will never ever be able to do it, unless you really want to pick up a fight. And then you have to give up on a lot of things. You will be either the winner or a loser. So when I said yes to them, then I went home and I told my mom at first. I said, Mom, I got this offer, and I'm so excited about it. My mom said, no, you can't do this job. No. Say, are you crazy? Here, women just get killed by going to school, and you are thinking about working for the military? You are thinking going to the military base? It's like, I said, Mom, you know, you're just overreacting. I haven't even gone to the military base yet. I'm just telling you that I got the offer, and I will think about it, you know, and do not make me scared. you were, like before I start the job, and said, my mom said, no, you don't have my approval at all. But then I talked to my dad about it, and my dad, you know, he was concerned as well. And then he said, this is really what you want to do. And I said, yes, Dad, you always convinced me, you know, to do what's right. And I think this is the right time, and this is the job that I would like to do, and I would like to serve my community, and I would like to serve the people who are here to help Afghanistan. So my dad said, okay, you know what, I don't want to discourage you, but I'm also a father. I'll be nervous, and if you're not careful with yourself, and I find anything that's going to be risky toward your life, I will stop you from doing the job. And then I said, okay, Dad, you know, I will be more careful, and I will do the job. So when I start working, it really opened my eyes toward what was happening to the women of Afghanistan, especially to the women of that province. Like, I just couldn't imagine how if a human being should be treated like that. It was that horrible, especially to the villages. You know, we were going and sitting with women and asking their problems. Even like, I still remember this story that one day a Canadian soldier, a female soldier, told me that we heard that a woman is a decision maker at home. So that's why our male counterpart are asking us that we have to push women to tell her husband so we will be allowed to do this work in this area for them. So I interpreted the same thing to that Afghan woman. And she looked at me and she said, are you an Afghan? I said, yes, I'm an Afghan. I say, so did you tell them that women are the decision maker in this society? I said, no, I haven't told them at all. But this is what they heard and about women being a decision maker in this society. She looked at me and she said, tell this woman that here the animals are treated better than women. If our cow gets sick, they will get treated right away. But if I get sick, my husband will ignore me for a month and month until they see me that I'm almost on way to my grave. Then they will take me to the doctor. So this is the situation. And if they understand the story right now, so they should understand it. If they don't understand it, they should be out of this house. Because we are not a decision maker in this society. We are being oppressed. Our rights have been taken. And we will do what our men tell us to do. So I interpreted the same thing to that Canadian female soldier. And she said, I'm shocked. This is not what we are told. And I was like, well, this is the true situation. I don't know whatever, wherever, or whoever told you this story, that woman being a decision maker. I say, it's not true. It might have been true in 1960s and 1950s because women had respect in society. A woman had a role in a society, but not now. So I always, you know, when I think about as a woman, you know, I'm a very ambitious woman, and I would like to achieve all of my goals.